Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in, pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hello, Ryan.
Hello. How are you?
I have been better.
I love how the audio listeners are just like, why is everybody so apprehensive this evening? Well,
I did something. Those of you watching the live video right now can see the thing that I did. I'm not happy about the thing that I did. I went to the hairdresser today and thought it would be a fantastic idea. I had this picture of this girl that had like blue highlights like under her bangs and then like a big chunky blue underneath piece. And it looked so super cool. So thank you, Pinterest, for the inspiration. And apparently my colorist just heard blue and missed subtle. So I am pretty sure that my boss is going to fire me. And this is what I ended up with. So we have like super, super, super blue hair. Yay. Yeah,
but I, you know what? People dye their hair all the time. And I've never done it.
I had to get special permission from my boss.
Right.
Because there's actually a policy at work saying that you're not supposed to have any unnatural hair color. So I said, look, I've been wanting to do this for a really long time. I just want to get like, you know, lighten up my blonde and put like some chunky blue bits in it, but nothing crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was your boss's reaction?
Yeah, that's okay. You know, you're not in the homes as much. You know, it's all right. You're mostly just at head office, so that's fine. You know, I've been known to put a color. She actually put quotes around color in my hair from time to time. It's fine.
Oh, well, then I don't know what you're worrying about.
I'm in so much trouble.
I think you're going to be fine. I think you'll be fine. In a sense, like, people are accepting of this now. It's like not when I was in high school, and I went to a Christian school, and they were pretty strict. And I mean, if you walked around with even like your hair looking sideways, you were thrown into detention. But what is that? That was like 15 years ago. Everybody's cool now, man. It's chill. It's blue. It's not crazy.
It's so blue.
It's not that blue.
It's
not that blue.
It's not the highlights I have problems with. It's that, like, all the hair around the highlights is, like, a lighter blue. Mm-hmm. So it's just blue everywhere. It's just not subtle at all.
I have a question, though. And again, this is just because I grew up with three brothers. There was no dyeing of hair. I mean, you've met my mother. She would not allow it. Which is cool, but I'm curious, like, can you not just, like, dye it again, as Jimmy is saying, like, just if it is a problem?
I guess I probably could. I don't really know. I might have to go dark, which I spent so much time lightening my hair that dark is not what I would want to do, but I don't know. Maybe it's just because it's so different and it's not what I wanted, because, I mean, there's a couple of people in the chat room saying that it looks fine, so I think it's probably just that it is so far from what I wanted that I'm just freaking out a little bit, but
I think it looks great. And to be honest, I think you're more worried about what your boss is going to say than how you actually look, because I think it looks fine. Looks great.
Thanks.
And I think when you go to work tomorrow and your boss says, styling hair, y'all, and then you'll go home and you'll be like, you know what? It is styling.
It is styling
and
hair.
And then you'll walk like this down the road all happy and you'll be fine. Don't do that, though.
We'll see what happens. We'll see. I think it's because I thought it was just going to be so much more subtle, and it's just totally like, Jocelyn now has blue hair. Like, there's no there's no ifs, ands, or buts.
Blue is a good color. It's not like you lost an extra life bet and had to dye it, like, green.
That's true.
Or
that's
pink.
True.
I can't remember what we made James do. I can't remember.
Oh, man. So anyways, my blue hair aside, we are up on the Nerdtacular schedule, which I'm really, really stoked about. So we actually are going to be up in the, I can't remember the name of the room now, but
the Princestone or the Primestone?
I don't know. The room that Angry Chicken was in last year.
I think Scott was saying on Morning Stream that it's a new room or something.
Well, then
I don't
maybe
know.
I'm just totally wrong, and I don't know the resort as well as I thought.
It's been 2 years since I've been there, so it could be completely different now. But it's like a different work, because I think the other ones were like up along the second floor on the Primrose is what it's called. Thank you, Primrose. It's like it's just rose petals leading into it. That's so prim and proper. New room, same floor as the ballroom. Thank you, Scott. So that's cool. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about it. That means that I'm going to actually be doing two shows this year. So I'm going to be doing live Anger Chicken, and we're going to be doing live Gamers Inn. So
they're both on the same day.
Oh, the nerves.
One after the other. So you, as I was explaining to Bob and Lou on Zamp, you get warmed up with Gamers Inn, get a lunch break to do your old Rocky run up the stairs thing, and then you do Anger Chicken right after. I think it starts 1 p.m. And from what I understand, they're all live streamed, so you'll be able to catch them. And then lunch break, and then Angry Chicken on one of the main stages, it looks like, according to the schedule.
Yeah, so I'm 100%, because I've known that Angry Chicken was going to be in the schedule, and I've known we were going to be on the main stage this year. And so I have been utterly terrified for about, 2 months.
Wait,
so
what?
We're coming up to the time where, I'm going to be up on that stage, and it's just going to be really, really terrifying. And Jim is reminding me to get my passport. I don't have my passport yet. I filled out the application today, though, so I just have to sign stuff. But the thing is, I have to go all the way downtown, which is really, really far from me. Right. So,
well, I mean, get on it. And you know what? That sounds like a thing I'd do, where I'm... Obviously, Nerdtacular is this really awesome, fun thing that I'm looking forward to. But because I'm a nervous wreck 99% of the time, damn it, Scott.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can continue your thought, because I'm totally going to pull that what just happened in the chat room.
Sure. Anyways, this is along that line, in the sense that I'm 99% nervous all the time, every time. So what I'll do is I'll push stuff off and ignore it just so I don't have to worry about it. And that sounds like... what I would do with that passport is probably not renew it. But I think I'm all set. I got everything sort of squared away. I didn't realize doing a live show we were supposed to be nervous, so now I'm nervous, Jocelyn.
Oh, okay. Well, you're welcome. And Scott has pointed out that Chris Metzen is going to be in the audience. So, for the show I do about a Blizzard property that's based on another Blizzard property, no pressure.
I think those guys have listened to the Angry Chicken before, so they know what they're
now
in
I'm
for.
Gonna be nervous every Monday.
Damn it. I'm not good
You're
at
not
this
helping.
Oh, perfect. So Scott says he's 100% nervous all the time, so I got that 1%
compartmentalizing, and I can't say that.
Compartmentalizing.
There we go.
I thought we moved the show to a Wednesday so we could say words better.
I know. This is supposed to be my not tired night. Anyway, so we should jump into what we're playing this week. So we were both going to play the same thing. We were both playing Batman, except it turns out that when you get home from work at 4 o'clock and then decide that that's when you're going to start downloading Batman, there's no way it's going to be done by the time you're ready to stream. So I ended up playing Witcher 3 instead.
Right. And how far did you get?
Not very far. I got to, I did the, pretend you played The Witcher 2 thing, or pretend to import a save or whatever it was. So basically there was a lot of talking at the beginning, but it kind of caught me up on what Witchers are, what the story was so far. And then I got to the first town. So the bad stuff happened. I ended up chasing, Chickface, whose name, made the chat room.
Her name is not Chickface.
Give me a new name. And it was terrible. So the name of the chick that you're chasing after at the beginning of the game is Yennefer, because apparently Jennifer is too common, and we've got to make this all medieval-like.
It's a Polish fantasy world, Jocelyn. Just accept the fact that there's going to be a character named Yennefer. And
no.
Ciri and Geralt. Instead of
Geralt. I am fine with that, and you know what? Maybe Geralt is mad at Geralt. I don't know, but Jocelyn is mad at Yennefer because it got her called Jocelyn for 2 hours last night.
Jocelyn. Well, the Y is pretty close to the J, so...
Yeah, no. It's terrible.
You're just perpetuating that nickname now by saying it, by recounting said story, at least in the Twitch chat.
It's a funny story.
Well... Yeah, I suppose. I mean, whatever you say, Yas. I mean, so how did you feel? How did you feel about the intro to The Witcher? Because I imported my save. I've obviously played the first little bit of 1, all of 2, and imported a save. So I didn't even get to see any of that weird singing bits. Because I hear you're talking to Dandelion, he's a guitar playing fellow. Is that not true? Maybe, I don't know.
I didn't talk to somebody talked to me about him.
Oh, okay. So it was just a random stranger talking to you?
Yes.
Oh.
And then he was like, I know you from dude's songs. And I was like, that's cool. People are writing songs about me. Huh. Nice.
Well, so that was interesting. So you never played 2 or 1. Did you read up on 1 or 2 at all, like, before? Nope. Okay, so when you're
presented... No idea what's going on.
Right, so when you're presented with these choices through this, you don't have a save? Let's set up the world. Did you feel like...
Oh, you knew it didn't you do that.
Is that not what it was doing?
You get to make choices.
Oh,
he it just... like, it said, do you want to import a save? Oh. Or do you want to, like, fake that you had a Witcher 2 save? And I was like, I'll fake it because I don't actually have one. And then there was just, like, this really, really long, like, video that I watched.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And then I got to the first town, and that was pretty much it. Like, I played the tutorial and everything, but there were no, like, choices.
Oh, I thought, okay. I thought it was...
Unless maybe I'm not there yet. I don't know.
Well, if you're an hour in and you got to the first town, I think your world's pretty set. But I had thought that, like, oh, it's time to change the world now that you've made it through the first 5 quests. I thought that it gave you a choice similar to, like, Mass Effect 3 when you didn't have prior saves. But yeah. I guess it just literally, like, word vomits your story to you.
Pretty much does, yeah. It probably just gives you whatever's canon.
Man, now that EA did, like, the Dragon Age keep for Inquisition, all games of that nature have to do it that way. Because it was so awesome the way they did it. But I don't know. I didn't experience this. And I know it's kind of a niche experience for those who didn't play the other ones. But considering how well it sold, it's probably the other way around. Mm-hmm. So once you finished the word vomit, what did you think of the story and the combat and all that? I'm interested to see what you thought about the combat.
It seemed pretty cool, and I don't know why I didn't have this issue in Skyrim. Clown Baby's asking if I went after the griffin. No, I didn't go after the griffin. I was being told to go to the town.
is the griffin... I think the griffin is after that. But I don't know.
Yeah. Well, the griffin, like, attacks some dude on the road, and then you, like, chase off the griffin, and then... you go to the town right after that because he says, go to the pub that my sister something owns it.
Right. And then you didn't do that? Or what happened when you went to the pub? Did you talk to that person?
I did. I talked to everybody in the pub. They yelled at me for being a Witcher, which apparently nobody likes. And then it told me my next step in my quest was to walk around and talk to people about Yennefer. Mm-hmm. And so I walked around and tried to talk to people, and no one would talk to me. They just kept yelling obscenities and stuff.
Right, right. Okay. So is that where did you end up stopping? Did you end up progressing, or did you just...
I got stuck there because it took me like an hour and a half because, again, I'm new to the PS4. I have only had my PS4 for a very, very short amount of time. I haven't played any AAA titles on it except for The Order, and I played The Order like... 3 months ago now. So, I mean, I totally and completely forgot about the swipey thing. That middle part was a touchpad. So I pushed every single freaking button on the controller as I was like, there's got to be a world map. You can't have a game like this and not have a world map. Because right. I'm like, I feel like there was like some blinky golden arrow at like the corner of my mini map, like telling me kind of like that's where maybe I should be going. So... I tried, and it seemed to be really, really far away. And I was just like, this can't be where I'm supposed to be going. And so anyways, eventually someone in the chat room was like, oh, what are you looking for? Are you looking for the map? You just have to swipe up on your touchpad. And I was like, I forgot I even had one of those. So then I was able to go back to the town and find the little quest. And then so I did a quest with a little dwarf guy. And I was like, sweet, I'm going to make him my friend. And then he's going to tell me all about Yennefer, and then we can move on. And he didn't.
Hmm.
So he just, it opened up the blacksmith for me, I think. And then, so the thing is, there was the board. Mm-hmm.
The notice board.
Which I guess gives me all the quests. Mm-hmm. So that's fine. It kind of illustrates my problem pretty perfectly with a lot of these games. And I don't know why I didn't have this problem in Skyrim. I really, really don't. Because it's the same sort of, like, get a bunch of quests, do a bunch of side quests. Maybe it was the way it was organized. I don't know. But right. Basically, it's like you get this whole notice board of stuff that doesn't seem important. Like, my quest is talk to the townspeople about Yennefer. and right. no one will talk to me. So then I'm just like, well, now I have some big quest thing. It's the same, exactly the same problem I had in Mass Effect, actually. You know, you've got this big thing, like you're chasing this girl, you know that you're within a day of her, and you're like hot on her heels, and then you have to stop help some dude get his bucket out of a well. And then you have to like go and find the chicken for the kid. Oh, and I'm just
this is Mass Effect 3 all over again, Jocelyn.
I know, and I'm like, I just want to find the chick.
What did you say?
I said, I just want to find the chick. What okay, did you good. Think I said?
I don't know. I heard a different F word. Like, you got to, like, enunciate. seriously, though.
I did try Gwent.
Sure, you tried Gwent. Your first game of Gwent is never the way you want it to go. It gets a lot more fun down the road, but...
What do you mean? I kicked ass. That was exactly how I wanted it to go.
I didn't say you were losing or winning. I just said that it gets more complex as you face... as you get quests to do Gwent and your... Thank you, Ignatie. As you find other quests where you're, like, challenging people, and then when you beat them, they give you a card, and I find that's the only reason I play Gwent, and there's plenty of those quests around. It's interesting with Gwent that... unlike other games where the side quests are more just, or the side games are just mini games that you can play when you're bored, mm-hmm. in Witcher 3, Gwent is like incorporated into a lot of the quests and a lot of the side world as well. So when you're running around, you can challenge anybody in Gwent. And sometimes there are quests where you have to beat them in Gwent for cards or even just for experience. It's really cool. But,
This is the thing. I didn't have a problem whatsoever with playing Gwent because I felt like at that point, I was sitting in the tavern and I was talking to the different people and I found a professor and he taught me the game.
Sure.
And so I was like, this is cool. So now he's going to give me information. And again, like, no, it didn't progress my main quest at all. And I was kind of like, ugh. I did like playing Gwent. I thought it was fun. It was like, once I kind of wrapped my head around it, I was like, okay, yeah, I get this. This is fun. But yeah, I don't know. I want to move on quicker than RPG games tend to, I guess, want me to or allow me to. You know, like, I'm ready to go, and they're just like, nah, gotta grind that XP.
But the thing is, like, in this game, it doesn't feel quite as you gotta save the world. There are pressing matters in this game, and obviously the main quest is pretty pressing because you're trying to
catch up to somebody.
Yeah, so. You're trying to catch up to someone, and I agree. Yeah. Like, there are points where you're like, let's move it along. But I find you have more fun when you just disconnect yourself from that and in a way that's not like,
well, and yeah, again, like this, I think is, comes back to how Skyrim was organized. Mm-hmm. I could choose at any time to change what my main quest was. And maybe I just don't know how to do that on the PlayStation yet.
So when you bring up the world map, or is it just bringing up the world map or is it bringing up, a menu?
To be honest, I only played for about 2 hours last night. By the time I found the world map, I was an hour and 45 in. Like, I was pretty close to the end by the time. So I wasn't looking at it that closely. I just looked at it enough to find what I thought was the quest that was going to move along my main quest line. And then...
Yeah. So what you need to do is there's a menu that you can open up, probably by hitting the touchpad, I would assume, because the start button's sort of taken up by the share button on the PS4. Mm-hmm. And that brings up your menu for quests. And they're all organized into main, secondary, Witcher, and other things. And there's some other stuff in there, like your bestiary, which helps you take down specific monsters, and then it tells you, okay, this type of monster is weak against this oil on your sword and this type of bomb, you know, and stuff like that. And also the world map's accessible there as well, and the inventory. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure the up movement on the touchpad is just a shortcut, and maybe there are others, like a swipe left to open inventory, swipe right to open quest log. And on the notice board, you had mentioned that you're just ripping shit off of it and put it in your quest log. Like, most of those, I'm gonna admit, are just like flavor text. But some of the ones that are clearly ordained with like a seal, those are like quests. And then ones that sort of mention a location add a question mark to your world map. So if someone says like, oh, I heard a weird rustling at the apple orchard or something, then it'll add a question mark to your map saying,
okay,
maybe there's something worth checking out at that apple orchard. I don't know why I keep wanting to say orchard. That's just not a word.
That's not a word at all.
Not a word at all. But I'm glad you gave it a shot.
I did enjoy it. I liked the combat, except for I was pressing the wrong button to swing my sword. I was pressing like the dodge or the roll button instead of the swing your sword button. I don't know why I had it in my head that like the bottom of the buttons was the swing sword button, but it's not. So I spent like my probably about like 30 to 45 seconds of my first fight against the three guys outside the inn just like rolling in between them. Right. Thinking that I was going to smack them with my sword, and I didn't. I was like, why do I keep dodging? I don't even understand this.
Yeah, I find that the combat, you're going to get frustrated before you get happy with what you're playing. Mm. And that's
I accidentally electrocuted a woman in a vase.
Sure, that you, I mean, that's good, right?
I keep pushing the wrong buttons, and so when I was trying to talk to people, what was I trying to do? I can't even remember. I think I was trying to, like... Oh, maybe I was trying to, like, use my Witcher sense or something. And by accident, I used my spell casting thing. And I had the lightning spell on. So I literally walked right up to her. And I tried to talk to her. She wouldn't talk to me. So I was, like, bzap! Right in the face.
Oh, dear. And what happened? Did she like, get upset?
Ran away screaming.
I don't know if this is like Skyrim where you can kill everybody, but I do feel like this game offers a lot of choice in the story as opposed to just like, guess what? You can just tear down everything and totally break the game. I don't know. Like, I know some people, especially PC gamers, they like choice. We're going to talk about that later. And sometimes that choice is just utter anarchy. And in Witcher 3, I think it's controlled anarchy in that you can make choices and you can make decisions that are narrative based. But the game corrals you in a way that it's not going to let you kill all the good people in the game. And maybe that maybe you can do that. And this is just the way I play. But I got the sense that the game is more narrative based and that doesn't allow you to kill everybody, you know. But I could be completely wrong. I'm glad you're enjoying it. But like I said, the combat... it's going to get frustrating before it clicks, and just hopefully that hurdle doesn't prove too much, because it almost did for me. Like, there were points where I wanted to put the controller down and stop playing, because it's like, this combat is finicky, and the best way I could describe it was bullshit. Several times, very loudly.
I did find it very difficult to mount my horse.
Sure.
There seems to be... I don't. Maybe I'm not holding stuff long enough when I'm supposed to hold it, and I'm not hitting it fast enough when I'm supposed to just hit it. But I found that there were a couple times where it would be like, press such and such a button to do this, or hold the same button to do something else. And you're right. Like, the difference between a touch and a hold was really... I wasn't getting it. And yeah, mounting the horse was really, really hard. And then I thought you always had to mount it from behind, which led to a whole other chain of jokes. But, well, because the only time that I got it to work, I was behind the horse. So I'm like, right. Oh, I guess Witchers just mount from behind. I don't know.
There's a Reddit thread about that, probably. It's got that jank, right? That, like, open world RPGs have developed by companies like CD Projekt Red, you know, like indie mentality, but a really big company. And I really dig Witcher 3 and what they're showcasing and the type of gameplay, and which makes it tough for me because right now I'm in between Witcher 3 and another big game, Batman. But I love The Witcher, and every time I get into it, I sink right back in like a comfy couch. But sometimes that combat, like just this last week, I was having an issue where as part of the narrative, I was winning a bunch of Gwent games, and then a guy comes down and he's like, hey, you're winning a lot of money. You want to test your luck in the high rollers room? And I'm like, yeah, I am just so good at Gwent. Takes me upstairs, and it's like a shakedown. And because it's a shakedown, it's a smaller room. So I'm up against three guys. And the way combat works is you can parry, but you can only parry one dude at a time. But you have unlimited blocks too, I think. Or else I just have a high stamina, I don't know. But when you block a bunch of times, your sword takes durability hits, right? So I was literally sitting there for 45 minutes trying to kill these people because I could sometimes parry, sometimes get a spell off, but almost never get a sword play off. And at three, like, combat in a close encounter with when you're outnumbered, it's just hair-pullingly frustrating. It really starts to show its weaknesses when you can find it like that. But in the open world, I can fight like 10 dudes at a time, no problem, because I can just run and dodge and.
Yeah, it's so easy. Find right off the beginning, you get attacked by like a pack of ghouls or something, and I found it really easy to kill, and there was probably 6 or 8 of them, and that seemed pretty easy to me, and I was just like, oh man, I'm so good at this game. So good at this game. And then, yeah, when I was fighting the 3 dudes outside the bar, I was like, oh, because then you're kind of like in this like penned in area, like for horses and, you know, whatever. It's like the front yard of the bar or whatever. And it's really hard to see or to kind of move around and see what's going on and see where they are. And yeah, I can see that if you were actually inside a room, like with walls and a ceiling and stuff, it would be hard to get those angles and, yeah, and to do stuff. So. P-Town Giant in the chat room is asking, how's Witcher 3 versus ESO or the new Batman? Mm-hmm. We haven't actually talked about Batman yet. Ryan's going to get to that in a minute. Mm-hmm. But in terms of Witcher 3 versus ESO, I really enjoy ESO. Not a lot of people do. So I'd probably say Witcher 3. Although I, so far from what I've seen of the combat, and this could just strictly be because, playing with a mouse and keyboard in an MMO is just, more my speed, my style, I guess. Like I've gotten so used to WoW that just I got into it so much easier than I did Witcher 3 with the PS4 controller. So I think it might be a control thing for me. And like I mentioned, ESO's questing is very similar to Skyrim's questing, and that to me felt like there's something bigger going on in the world, but it's not necessarily so time-driven. You know, like with Mass Effect 3, it was like, oh my god, you got to save the universe. With Witcher 3, it's like, oh my god, you have to, you know, catch up to the girl. And then in, you know, in ESO, it's kind of like there's this big, huge, global, looming threat, but we have to get prepared first sort of thing. So it makes side questing a whole lot more. And I found like Oblivion was the same sort of thing. There were like these gates opening up all over the place, but you could choose which ones you closed, which ones, you know, what order you did stuff in, you know, how you prepared to go into the Oblivion gates and all of this kind of stuff. So it's like there's a big threat and there's urgency in Elder Scrolls, but I like the questing mechanics. Like the side quests seem to smoosh into that main quest line a whole lot easier than they do in other RPGs, because I had the same problem with Kingdoms of Amalur. Did the same thing to me. I ran up against a boss I couldn't beat because I had to go all the way back to the first town and literally like kill the chickens and collect the herbs and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, that's what kills a game for me is when I have to do a whole bunch of side quests to progress on the main quest, because I just want to keep progressing on the main quest. Like,
oh, I don't know. I mean, that might just be like a preference thing, but when it comes to The Witcher, like you're early on. The early on stuff, yeah, it's nothing to write home about. But as you continue to progress, you're going to start unlocking like Witcher contracts, which are going to at first, you know, glance are going to feel very side questy, but then turn into like, oh right, I'm a Witcher, this is my job. And out of
And I know you have spoken before about the side quests and how much story content there is and how interesting they are, so I do know it's just right at the beginning, but I also find it really funny that, you know, we're on The Witcher 3, I'm supposed to be like this super badass, I'm covered in scars, and yet I have to like basically rank up, and I'm just like, but why can't I just get into the cool stuff right away? I guess that's my problem. It's like, why do I have to do all this like stupid little crap? Like, why can't I just like give her?
Yeah, it's the Samus Aran problem, right? Where every game you start off, like at the end of it, you're super powered, and then the sequel, you know, someone throws a rock and it hits you right in the sweet spot, and you just, oh, I forgot how to do everything, and my rocket launcher fell off my arm. What's happening? I'm pretty sure that's the plot for Metroid Prime 4 and why they haven't made it yet. but yeah, no, it's The Witcher 3 is a long haul, right? I'm about 40 hours in and I haven't left the second area because I'm just so steeped in doing all these side quests, because I find that none of them are boring, and when they are boring, they're done, you know? It's so well written, I find. And again, this is all based on opinion. Some people might look at it as like, yeah, it's kind of choppily written, where some stuff's really good and some stuff's just groaning. But I feel like I really like the story. I really like the writing. And Pete Town in the chat room is asking, you know, how long of a session do you need for it to be fun? And I think just like The Order, there's that hump. And we've had this conversation on Gamers In where, like, how long should you play a game before it becomes fun? Because investing what little time we have, investing maybe 10 hours in a game to get to the quote-unquote fun bits, that's not fun. I think Witcher 3 is got a... It's no, like, Legend of Zelda game where the hump is 2 hours down the road. I think it's maybe a good hour or two. But in a 200-hour game, you're looking at a small piece of the puzzle, and where I am now, I feel, and I've been there for at least 20, 30 hours, I'm in a point where I've just got complete freedom and I can do whatever I want. I can choose to continue the main quest. I can choose to go to the left and explore this question mark. And I've been playing in 1 to 2 hour sessions, and they usually get start to click like 15 minutes in, because I am in a point where I can take whatever quest I want. And everything's sort of like neat and tidy. There's no like 3 hour quest line, right? Similar to like Dragon Age Inquisition, where I felt like there was missions that took a while. Same with Mass Effect 3. And there's nothing wrong with those, but bite size is what I need right now.
I found I played for 2 hours, and a lot of that was taken up with tutorial and that first like movie thingy. And actually, someone in the chat room earlier on said that the choices thing, basically you go and tell your story to a king in a castle right after the first town, and that's when you make all your choices. So I haven't even hit the choices part yet. I haven't even built my world.
Yeah, the tutorial is sort of like, you think you're through the tutorial, but I think the tutorial is that whole first area, now that I think about it.
Mm.
And that tutorial includes like the freedom of choice and the different areas, because you don't really realize it's a tutorial until you get to the second area, which is just 20 times as big as that first area, or maybe not 20.
The first area, it is really, really small, which, I mean, the fact that I got lost in it and kept running over kids on the road with my horse, it just makes it seem even worse now. But I know that that's not, like, the normal size of stuff, but, yeah. I'm even trying to murder children in the tutorial. This game is not going to go well.
I think you'll like it, and as a side game to the other stuff that you're playing, I think it's a nice palate cleanser of, you know, it's more mature. It's a different taste of video gaming that that you don't see a lot. We talked about this when I first started talking about Witcher. It's nice to play a game that treats you like an adult. You know,
True. I definitely didn't feel like my hand was getting held through it. I was so confused the whole time. So.
Yeah, and that's something we complain about. Like, oh, I don't want you to hold my hand. Then they're like, fine. And they walk away. Like, the tutorial walks away like a scorned lover. And it's like, but wait, how do I open the map?
Yeah, how do I open the map?
Dude, I was right there with you. And again, that's where I come to the point where I was just like, there are frustrating points, but... it's a game of preparation, and that's where the bestiary comes in. When you fight the griffin, it sort of introduces you that mechanic of preparing for battle. And I didn't do that. And the battle, I still beat it, but the battle took twice as long as it should have because Scout's Honor, I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm looking forward to when you get to that griffin fight, because I think that's the one that'll be when the game clicks, and that's probably on the next stream that you do.
Yeah, cool. Well, I'm looking forward to it. And I did really enjoy streaming from the PS4. It's so freaking easy. There's no camera, so I was just sitting there in my PJs. Like, I didn't have to have, you know, any hair done, normal clothes on. Like, I just was comfy on my couch, cuddled up with my cat, streaming, hanging out with chat room. Like, it was really fun. So probably see a lot more of that couch PS4 streaming from me in the near future. And we've been pretty good. I obviously missed Monday because I had late volleyball and then Angry Chicken. But plan is still Monday to Friday streaming. So we hit Tuesday and we're going to do something after the show tonight. So
cool.
And Jim demands kitty cam. Working on it, dude. Working on it.
There you go.
But yeah, so the thing I didn't get to stream that I really wanted to stream was Batman. So, dude, first impressions. First of all, PC or console?
This is on the PC.
Okay.
We could touch a bit on my experience, but in the topic, we're probably, like, of course, we're going to talk about the whole...
Well, I think we should go into just the whole experience that you're having in terms of, like, technical everything. We'll talk about that in our topic, but just, like, mm-hmm. first impressions, like, how far into the game are you so far?
Well, and this should show you something. I love the Batman. I'm looking up because I have my Arkham City statue.
Oh, I thought you were looking up like, thank you for Batman.
No, it's sort of like that. Like, I'm a positive gamer. When something really clicks with me, like, I latch onto it and I don't let go. And the Batman games is that series for me. I remember Arkham Asylum holds this really close. It's really close to me in terms of my gaming heart, as we like to call it, on the Care Bear Stare Hour of Gamers Inn, where I was in university, and I was like, you know what? I just wish we had a game we could sit here and play together and just, you know, veg and pass the controller back and forth. And Arkham Asylum was that. It was this Batman game we didn't know anything about. It was like $40 at Walmart. It was brand new and launched at a discount, totally out of left field, and just clicked. And Arkham Knight is that for me. I know a lot of people have been complaining about the Batmobile as a key component in the game. Mm. And I see those concerns, and I raise you, it's the freaking Batmobile. It's super awesome. It kind of feels like the Batmobile is shoehorned in as much as possible, but it feels really good to run around in a giant tank that goes really fast and allows you to run over bad guys with. Batman kills people in this game. I don't care what you guys say. He's killing people. He's running them over with a car and shooting them with tank bullets. Yeah, I think,
and not just any car. He's running them over with the Batmobile. That's pretty tankish.
Yeah. So this will explain how well I got into it, because I didn't really get a chance. I guess it did come out yesterday. I didn't get a chance to play it until, really get into it until after we recorded Zamp. We recorded at 9, and I sat down around 10:30 to start playing. And then when I looked up at the clock, it was 1 on a weekday. And I'm
playing. Jeez, now you know what my life is like.
Yeah, I
look at the,
like,
clock and it's 1, and I'm like, I still got a couple hours in me.
I pulled a Jocelyn, guys. Oh, no. And I was super tired in the morning. I was like, you know what? It was for Batman. God bless his soul. I was just having a good time with it. And it feels like the story actually tries to explain why there's no good people on the streets. And
don't feel bad about the fact that you're killing them mercilessly.
Yeah, because they're all bad guys. Because it specifically explains there's an event that goes, there's a threat by Scarecrow, which is the main baddie at the beginning of the game. Okay. And that's not a spoiler. This is spoiler free, even though I'm so far in, it doesn't feel like I could. Well, I could spoil something, but I'm not.
Spoil anything.
I'm not going to spoil anything. I know
it's
a lot of people.
Day after the freaking game came out.
Yeah, and I know as soon as I said that.
Some of us haven't even downloaded the whole thing yet.
That's what people say when they're about to spoil stuff, but I think I'm the only one that, like, honestly means it when I give a spoiler warning. I'm not going to spoil anything. The story's really cool. It sets up this gritty world where, like all the other games, you're Batman, but you have more of a team behind you. Oracle is a bigger presence in the game, as opposed to, like, the first one where it felt like it was just you and occasionally Alfred. And it kicks off with a bang and just keeps going. And the story is a little hard to follow. It was one of the criticisms I saw, but and that definitely rings true. But the combat's there. That is Batman-ass combat. They sort of mix it up a bit where they give you new power-ups where when you counter, you can throw a guy. So instead of just countering and hitting them, you can, like, throw them, like, off a cliff. Or, like, seriously, you're killing people. Or, like, throw them into other guys. And that's really a really cool mechanic. And first, like, couple hours, they've already introduced, like, a new enemy type. Whereas I felt like in the other Batman games, it was just sort of the same type of thugs. And in this one, they sort of... introduce a different type of ninja with swords and stuff, so it was really cool. And yeah, I feel like early on they do rely heavily on the Batmobile, but it controls so fluidly that I'm just glad.
It's better than the Mako?
Yeah, and it's better. It's better than, you know, shoehorning in a vehicle because it's a big open world, and then realizing that the vehicle doesn't control really well. I don't understand,
like, the
criticisms.
Horses in Red Dead Redemption,
or even the horse in Witcher. Like Witcher 3, that horse.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It was better than Red Dead, because I remember playing Red Dead and feeling like I was driving a car. It was awful.
Yeah, and in this, it feels like once you get the hang of it, the Batmobile is a straight up car, and then when you hold the L button, it seamlessly transforms into a tank. The animation takes a little longer for than the controls to snap in, so when you hit that control button or that L trigger, you're instantly changed into a tank, and you've got refined hover tank sort of controls, and it feels very smooth. People in the chat room are asking about the voice, the voices. This is like straight up old Batman voice from the other Arkham games, not Origins, but so we're back to Kevin Conroy. They changed up Captain Gordon's voice. He's now Mike from Breaking Bad, which is awesome. A little jarring at first.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Mike Ehrmantraut or whatever. But, no, you do not have to mount the Batmobile from behind, although there are characters that do, and I'll let you play the game so you can understand that that reference. It's a new Batman game, and it's a lot of fun. I'm playing on PC. I have noticed a couple of hitches, but not as bad as Reddit would have you believe.
Okay, well, before we get into that, I just wanted to remind everybody that we really appreciate your continued support of our show, along with the support of our sponsor, Doghouse Systems. You can use the code THEGAMERSIN to upgrade to an SSD when you purchase a new gaming rig, so head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Mm-hmm. So that brings us to our topic this week that Ryan was kind of easing into.
I was getting us all there. No, go.
What'd you say?
Oh. No, I was saying I was leading us in, as in, like, let's start talking about that, and boom, passed right off. It was solid.
Yeah, until you messed it up.
I didn't mess it up. We messed it up. Take ownership. Come on, people.
So for our topic this week, we are going to be talking about basically broken PC ports, which was brought on by all of the negativity around the Arkham Knight, all the problems with the just PC in general, and I've seen a couple people, Scott included, who have said, you know, like, oh, I have no problems whatsoever. And I think both you and Scott are running the same graphics card, which is like the, what is it, like GeForce 980 yeah. XT.
He's got one awesome ahead of
thing
me.
That sparkles and is amazing. I don't know.
Scott's got that frog pants money, so he's got a 980, or I've just got a 970.
Okay. But that's what I mean, though. Like, it's there's close. Like, 970, 980, and then is there a 990?
There's a TI, which is the or new something.
Because I was going to say, I think there's one above that. Mm-hmm. But anyways, what I'm saying is that they are like the top tier of what is currently available for video cards. And I think that might have something to do with it, is like, you guys have the top tier gear, so you're not going to have as many problems as people. And it's kind of the problems with just PC in general, is that, you know, everybody's got different guts in their systems. So it's almost like developing for Android, where everyone has a different Android phone, versus developing for an iPhone, where you know exactly what those guts can do. Yep. It's the same as developing for a console. Like, all the PS4s are the same. All the Xbox Ones are the same. So it's just takes your problems from here and brings it down to here when you're developing for console, and then you port it to PC and it's just a shit show.
There's a lot of stuff flying around about Batman Arkham Knight, which is unfortunate, because the past PC renditions of this series have been fine. And I'm only, like, let's say 3 or 4 hours in, and I've done some tweaks based on, you know, feeding through the Reddit storm. I mean, Reddit would have you believe that PC gamers are just the most mistreated type of gamers around, which I do not subscribe to that theory. I believe that all gamers are sort of treated equally. I don't think companies outright, you know, curse a specific platform, unless you're, you know, Activision, in which you only favor platforms that come from Red Bull. I don't know if you saw that news story.
I saw something about Red Bull, and I was just like, I'm not even, yeah, Destiny's not on my radar, so yeah, I don't really care.
Anyways, with Batman, the problems I've noticed is that, is occasionally when you're in the Batmobile, when you hit a bunch of stuff, you'll hitch, and the frame rate will come down enough that you notice it, not to zero as some reviews have stated, but that was related to, I think, PhysX, which is an NVIDIA technology. So I made a quick change in the settings, as you do as PC gamers, right? You look at it and say, okay, what's going on? You Google it. Someone says, oh, try this. And you do it and it works. I think that comes with the territory of being a PC gamer. I feel like, and when I started,
it's the trade-off for the ability to mod and for the super freaking fantastic kind of graphics that you can get that you just can't get on your consoles, right? Yeah, like, you're going to constantly be able to evolve as a PC gamer, and we're stuck with whatever PlayStation and Microsoft decide that we get with our consoles.
Exactly, and this isn't us saying that PC gaming is the Wild West. It should not be like that, but I feel like when you're a PC gamer, at least when I started playing PC games, there was this understanding that unless you had the best of the best, you were messing with settings.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a video card that was released last fall, and I still have to mess with settings because games are just, they're built future-proofed in that, you know, if you look at the Witcher series, for example, every time one of those games would come out, there was always this one setting that you couldn't turn on unless you went into 3 years into the future and bought a graphics card, or you own two of the most strongest graphics cards. And Sly gets into this whole other issue, which is running two video cards at a time.
But see, again, that's something you can do on a PC. You can't do that on
console. It feels like, to me, this comes with the territory. But we shouldn't discount the fact that a lot of people are having issues. And a good friend of mine is running AMD, and it's a slideshow for him. And that's a whole other problem with PC games, is that not only are you developing for two platform creators, let's say AMD with the ATI cards and then NVIDIA cards. Like, it's crazy hard to develop for two architectures, and I learned a lot about PC ports this week when I was actually looking into this, and it's very different than what I thought it was, you know? and I do highly suggest people go out and seek out that information. It's too boring to recount here, and I'd probably get it wrong, but it's really interesting, and I feel like you have to hold these companies accountable, and that's where Steam refunds come in. I've seen a lot of, gamer entitlement out there when it comes to news, but I also feel like if you feel you want to return it, return it. Buy it when it's now, solid. But I feel like right now it could get to a point of solidarity, let's say, in a couple weeks, because this stuff happens, right? Games launch, and Warner Brothers has a really bad track record with PC ports. Mortal Kombat was another one that I had no issues with, but a lot of people did have issues with. But at least, Warner Brothers is being serious about it. They're out there saying, like, we're very serious about this game running flawlessly on PC. We're working day and night to get it done. We're working with NVIDIA and AMD to get it done. But if you look at anything on Steam, like the comments on a news post or the comments for the user reviews, it's just a lot of, like, it's locked to 30 frames per second. It doesn't work right. This is, crappy, not recommended, negative review.
Is 30 really that bad?
Okay, yeah. Now, there are going to be people who are going to start screaming at their iPod. Please don't understand that, we're not videophiles? I don't think so. As far as I know, I'm playing at 30 frames per second, and my eyes did not fall out in disgust. I think it was Azax I was talking to on Twitter. He said that he came up with a good point in that, how come I can't play at 60 frames per second? In the other games, I was able to play at 120 frames per second, 150 frames per second. It didn't lock me in. And I'm just thinking to myself, wait a minute, why would you play it at 150 frames per second? I had made the comment.
Can you even see a difference at that point?
Well, I think the only time you visibly notice a difference is when it shifts, So when you're playing a game at a solid 60 frames per second and it dips to 40 or 50, you notice that change. But if you're playing at a constant 30 frames per second, you don't notice it unless it's dipped down from an original 60 frames per second. Now there are going
to
be some people.
I think I play WoW somewhere between 30 and 60, but I don't notice, like.
Yeah. And, you know, with Batman, you might notice as you're, like, quickly moving, you know, in the Batmobile or as you're dive bombing or something. But, you know, it's just unfortunate to see such a really, I really look forward to this game. And again, this goes back a couple episodes where we were talking about just being an optimist and being a gamer and just seeing, like, the reviews were posted and it was like 10 out of 10 and 8 out of 10 and really high scores. And then it comes out and you can't wait to play it. I woke up to tweets and, you know, emails and just like how bad this game is on PC. And it just brings you down, man.
Which, and I mean, I didn't pre-order this. So I came home from work after seeing all of that and I bought it on PlayStation because I know like my doghouse is 3 years old now and I love it. But it's starting to struggle, and especially if I want to stream, there's no way I'm going to be able to stream a AAA title from my doghouse anymore. Like, it's just not happening. I can't stream WoW from my doghouse. So I feel like, yeah, when I got home, I'm just like, why would I even touch the PC version with a 10-foot pole? Like, I'm going to go make use of my PlayStation.
Yeah, that's a solid bet. I mean, I'm playing, I'm having a lot of fun. I'm definitely noticing some graphical hitches, and I've you know, made tweaks here and there to improve it. It's still not perfect, but I feel like, to me, that comes with the territory. But to some who have spent thousands of dollars on their PC setup and then get a game like this that they should be able to blow out of the water, I totally understand that frustration, and I feel for those types of people. Like, Kearney, a good friend of the show, he's got a really beefy computer. He's having no issues, you know, but he's got a really beefy system, right?
Yeah.
Whereas my other buddy, who has a really good rig as well, is running AMD, and it's not doing so hot. And it's just, it's a trend we'd like to get away from, you know, as people who play PC games. You don't want to wake up on Christmas Day that you get every once in a while with the best game launch ever to find that, you know, Christmas Day is running at, you know, 10 frames a second. You know?
Worst Christmas ever.
Yeah, no one wants to go through that. And it's such a good game, too. Like, it's so fun. And the mystery of, like, who the Arkham Knight is and how they play off of that. And, you know, I'm not far enough along to know who it is, but the way they play through it and the story and the exchange of dialogue between characters is that same old Batman fun. It's really good. It's really well written, and it just sucks that people are having such issues with it. And I hope that people will stick to their guns and Warner Brothers will stick to their guns as well and actually fix it for people. Because it seems like a very, I would even say, a vocal majority are having an issue. You know, this isn't just a minority. This is a big deal. Like, it takes good strength to drive a AAA title like Arkham Knight into the depths of hell that is Steam. Like, there are 5,000 negative reviews for this thing, and I don't think it is just a writing campaign. This is people having legitimate issues with this port. And arguments I've seen in the past, like saw Dark Angel in the chat room saying that PC gamers are sort of treated as second class console gamers, and that's
yeah. We touched on that earlier, and Ryan, you mentioned you don't think it's a thing. I do think that his second part of a statement saying that it's easier to develop for consoles, that's something I said earlier too. Like, and I really do believe that. I think it's easier to develop for consoles. So. In some cases, PC is a port as opposed to being developed on PC and ported to a console. But at the same time, you know, it is what it is. And it's, I think, a problem more with AAA stuff because they want to get stuff done and out as fast as possible. And it's easier to do that by developing on a console and porting to a PC. But that doesn't excuse them, I don't think.
Yeah, and in the past, PC ports would launch months after the console version. And, you know, I don't know, maybe I'd rather have the game early and let it sort of iron out the issues a couple... I was having issues with Witcher 3 at launch on PC, and it took a couple weeks for it to iron out. And I'm not the kind of person anymore that has a lot of time as soon as a game launched. It's sort of a slow burn. So the fact that I'm playing Batman a couple hours a night, by the time my fifth sit down with it, it's running flawlessly. It's not a bad investment for me, but I realize that a lot of people have different gaming styles. And if you take a whole day off to play this, you know, this much old game, that's got to suck.
And I think that's where a lot of issues come, and not where a lot of issues come from, but where a lot of the vocalness comes from. A lot of people, you know, making the complaints and stuff, because gaming has gotten to this point now where it's so central in our culture that people are doing things like taking a day off work to play something at launch. And again, like that's your decision. If you're choosing to take a vacation day from work to do a launch of a video game, you have to understand that sometimes games have problems on launch day. But at the same time, like if you're taking a vacation day to really play this, you really want to play Batman and you know, that's all you want to do with your Tuesday. You're super excited. You pre-ordered the super amazing, awesome, the $150 edition. And then all of a sudden you spend your whole entire day and it's not working and it's, you know, jittery and giving you, you know, 5 frames per second and you're like, I don't feel graceful. Then, you know, that's a real big piss off. And that would make me take to the forums. Like if I had, for instance, taken yesterday off and played patch 6.2 in WoW and I couldn't get in because the servers were crashing like they were when Warlords launched, you know, like, if that was happening and I'd taken vacation days, I would have been pissed. So I can definitely see where a lot of this is coming from. So
yeah, it's really unfortunate, and unfortunately, it is a time we live in where companies don't want a beta test. I don't know why they don't want a beta test, especially on PC. It's kind of important to do a beta test for like every AAA game they come out with. When you really think about it, there are services available to developers to allow them to test on a variety of system setups, but you don't really experience every single configuration until you release it in the wild. It's like, oh, you have this CPU, motherboard, RAM, video card, hard drive combo. Oh, the fix for that is this line of code, and we'll patch it in. You don't realize that until the game's been out in the wild. And same thing happened with Witcher. Same thing's happening with Batman. Same thing happened with Mortal Kombat X. And the same thing will happen for every PC game that comes out from here until the end of time, unless you're Blizzard and you take time to develop a game.
Very, very true. So if you want to show off your TGI pride, head on over to slashloot.com. That's slashloot.com and grab yourself a Gamers In t-shirt. They have tons of other awesome shirts, including all of your favorite podcasts like Azeroth Roundtable, Torrent Think Tank, Zombies Ate My Podcast, and The Angry Chicken. So go to slashloot.com and show off your podcast pride. That brings us to our listener feedback section. And so we got a couple of emails here. Our first email comes to us from Andrew, who is correcting us and telling us that Smite does indeed have a story. He says, forgive me, guys. I'm going to nerd out for a second because I spend entirely too much time playing Smite. Smite has a story, but it's no surprise you guys don't know it because it's only outlined outside the game with this admittedly bad comic book. And he gives us a link, which is in our show notes. The community ran with it a little bit and put together a list of what gods are probably on each side of the conflict, which you can find at reddit.com/rsmite/something. Can't see the rest of the link. but again, in our show notes. Anyway, the story is barely there, but it does exist. I love the show. I listen to it every week. Thanks for the hours of entertainment. So thank you very much for that clarification, Andrew. I'm really looking forward to looking into why exactly these gods are fighting, what they're fighting over, and who is actually on each side. Because as everyone knows, when you play Smite, you can choose whichever characters you want to be on, whichever team you want. So,
did you read the comic?
I didn't get a chance to read the comic, no. It's, did you?
Yeah, I did. Man, it is tie-in-y as hell marketing, but it's still awesome. It was awesome to read, and then it sort of feels like Smite created their own fan fiction of ancient religions. It was really cool. Fair enough. It was really cool, and the way it ends with, again, not spoiling anything, not that I really need to say that because it is a tie-in comic, but I'll say it anyways or else people will email. Not to spoil anything, but the way it ends is kind of cheesy and like, oh yeah, that is a marketing tool. Okay, but it was free. It's totally free to download. So check it out if you're a Smite fan.
Very, very cool. And we have another email here. Ryan, do you want to take this one from Torsten?
Yeah, we never discussed this ahead of time, but hey, first let me say that you are doing an awesome podcast each week. Thank you so much for doing that. I have some leftover codes for Heroes of the Storm, and I wanted to check with you if you'd be interested in them for a giveaway on the show. Keep up your good work, and if you ever come to Versailles, please let me know, and I will arrange a meeting for you with Kerrigan. Have a great day, Torsten. Is Kerrigan local to is Versailles in Italy or France? I can't remember. Or is Versailles a reference I'm not getting?
I'm shaking my head at you right now.
Answer. I think you're muting the mic or something. Top of the chat room. Is it Italy or France?
It's France.
Thank you. I don't know. It could go either way. It doesn't really have any accents. I know. My mother's French. I should probably know that. I had emailed back and said, hey, you know, this launched. So the codes are like no good anymore because it's out of beta. And it turns out these are codes for Heroes.
Yes. And actually, I forgot to check before the show. I don't know which ones I don't have, but I'd rather give them away anyway.
Yeah, I'm totally cool with giving them away as well. I don't know how we want to do it, but what's up for grabs is Zeratul, Zagara, Zeratul,
which I Ronin skin. Freaking love Zagara. Zagara is so much fun.
Yeah. Sonya, the Diablo barbarian chick, and of course, the Master of Cups, Lili.
Lili! So if anyone Lili likes Lili but hasn't had a chance to play Lili, we can give you a code. So to redeem these, you have to go to battle.net/code. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Do we want to maybe give one away to the chat room right now?
Yeah, well, let's do one for the chat room, and it can be their choice. And then the rest of them, people can just email in for them.
Yep.
If no one wants them, we'll find good homes for them. Not to worry. Absolutely.
Okay, so chat room, I want everyone to write in the hero that they want, and I will pick somebody from random. So I'm guessing Clown Baby looks like he wants one. So just say something like, let's think of something actually, Ryan. Think of a cool phrase, funny phrase. I'm a hero.
Oh, for them to say.
Yes. So everybody write in and say, I'm a hero. And everyone that does, I'll pick a random person, and then you can tell me which code you want.
If you sing it, you get extra points. By extra points, you get the code faster. I don't know.
There you go. So while everyone in the chat room is doing that, we wanted to say a very big thank you to Andrew A., who is our patron of the week this week. You can go to patreon.com/thegamersin if you would like to support the show. Wanted to remind everyone that we have game night tomorrow night at 8 p.m. Eastern. If you are a patron of the Gamers Inn, then you get to tell us what you want to play with us. So we've got all kinds of things going on. We're going to get a post up right after the show tonight. We've still got Depth. We've got Dungeon Defenders 2. We've got Heroes. We've got Smite. We've got just all kinds of multiplayer stuff. So whatever you guys want to play, we are up for it. Except for, I think this week it might just be me, right, Ryan?
I have a graduation, a family outing, as they're called in the real world. So unfortunately, I will probably have to step away for the good chunk of it. But considering how late you fine folks stay up, I might be able to join later on in the evening, similar to what I did a couple weeks ago. So I apologize, but Jocelyn has you fine folks in good hands.
Oh, yeah. I can hold it down. Don't worry.
Oh, of course. no worries.
So, all right. Again, that's Andrew A. is our patron of the week this week. Sorry, the cat totally distracted me. So thank you very much, Andrew. Thank you to all of our great patrons. And game night tomorrow night, we will be streaming that over on twitch.tv/GIS Gamer. Mm-hmm. I think that pretty much does it for us this week. So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com. You can find us on Amove TV along with other fabulous podcasts, including StarCast, Into the Nexus, and The Angry Chicken. You can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GIS Gamer. Ryan is at R. Murphy. And don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. The video versions of all our episodes can be found on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Jocelyn Moffat. You can also find the show on Facebook and Google+. If you'd like to email the show and let us know about your Batman experiences, you can do so by emailing info@gamersinpodcast.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and remember, tune in next week. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I'm Batman too.
I'm the Witcher. Because he sounds like that too.
He kind of does, doesn't he?
Yeah, he's got that Batman voice.